Thank you for joining us, everyone, for another episode of Creatives Chat. Episode 31, Part 2, The After Show, featuring Paper Chase. Join us as we chat about who knows what. We shall begin our show now.
Streaming from Retro Earth Studio and brought to you by...
We are historically conscious human apparel. And
learn to play jazz piano like a pro by a pro with Jazz Piano Pro Essentials at jazzpianopro.com.
Let's say hello to Chase again.
I guess what's some of the stuff that you got cooking for when all this lockdown stuff goes away?
Well, I have a song that's called Lockdown that I wrote at the very beginning of lockdown. So Hype Hop, there was a bunch of stuff that we were working on. And then I was talking to Michael, aka Mike Drop, about it more. And he just said that he wasn't really feeling it anymore. That his creative energy wasn't like aligned with it or anything. I'm not really sure. It wasn't anything bad. It was just that he didn't feel like it was calling to him anymore, which I understand. So we have a bunch of Hype Hop songs that are unreleased. Like, we have the song called Money Is God that we made a music video for that's basically, and people, when I show people that, they're like, that's not right, man. Like, you can't say money is God. I'm like, but it is. Like, in the society that we live in, that's how people treat money. People worship money. Right. So that's what that song is about, basically.
Such an artistic take to it. It's, yeah. It just goes over their head. Like, that's the point, guys.
Yeah, exactly. Like, right. It offends you because, yeah, it should offend you, because why do we value money more than we value each other? You know what I mean? And so that's kind of that. I mean, obviously, you know, that's the overarching theme. And there's lots of bars about money in there and stuff. But
how dare you make people think?
I know, right? Like, yeah, damn, I gotta be like, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang, Gucci gang. So I have that. I had the song called Lockdown that I made that our boy Lil Known Fact is about to lay a verse on. I think he already might have. I'm working on a couple albums, two projects, basically. So
one
is going to be my first solo project that I release by myself. I don't know if it's going to come out first or second of the two. And that one's going to be basically the next chapter of me and my development as an artist. Maybe have some chilling tales from the Rona. I want to call it like The Notebook or The Next Page or The Next Chapter or something. It's got to have a pun, some kind of pun. But then one that I'm really excited about that I feel like has a lot more potential as far as mainstream success and marketability, it's going to be called Literally Anyone Can Do This. And it's going to be basically probably 6 to 10 songs that are different archetypes of modern day rap songs. So I have a sad boy song. Marshall and Gertie have heard it and they were like, what the hell, this is you? I'm like, yeah. So like have like a sad boy song, a club banger, like a Drake type song, I don't know, and then like a song about drugs. So, you know what I mean? Like those songs that fit different structures of other songs that you would hear like on mainstream hip hop stations or whatever, but basically making fun of them. Or not even like a Weird Al type of making fun of them, but like making it so basic of that format that it can't fail, essentially. Like it's gonna be the Toyota Corolla of an album.
I see, that's the funnest Toyota Corolla. Long lasting, always trusting. And it's so funny though, because I think that's something right there that just goes to your playful spirit and mentality of just like how you approach life. And it's really just having fun with it and just showing. But it's also incredibly challenging too for people to make something like that and not come across cheesy and actually have it be something
right.
That's like, oh wow, this is actually really, I would listen to this again. And to know that deep down that you're just like essentially pointing a jab at the actual industry itself.
Yeah, yeah. So I have to find that happy middle ground of it can't be cheesy, because then it's going to not do well because it's cheesy. I mean, G-Eazy is pretty cheesy though, and he does really well. So maybe have a G-Eazy song on there, and I don't know, call it P cheesy or something. And then you can't look like you're trying too hard as well, because that's also bad. Because if you look like you're trying too hard, then it's fake. So you got to find that happy middle ground where it's still a good song, still sounds real, and it still is enough of a joke, or at least enough asserted as a joke that you can have the success with it. So like, I don't know, you got Young Gravy, that guy makes bangers, but they're a joke. So like, you know, a Riff Raff or
Lil
Dicky, any of those type of guys, I mean, that's very, very similar to what I'd like to do, because then you can combine all the elements and you don't have an image to follow in that sense, because I'm not going to be like, yeah, I'm the hardest motherfucker on the face of the earth. That's me. Don't fuck with me. That's not me. That's not me at all. That's not who I am. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to shoot anybody.
Well, so. I think that's a question that really leads me right into it in terms of just like hip hop culture and how the kind of mainstream aspect has really changed how people approach the art and the craft. Right. Is, you know, it's like, what is your kind of current theory on hip hop, and like, how can it really transform itself into something that, you know, builds more of that artistic understanding to it and builds more community? And just, I don't want to say like everyone that's in hip hop right now is ass, but
right.
How can hip hop be better and kind of bring back that old school vibe of what it used to be? You know, I guess you'd say almost like hip hop with more integrity.
Well, there is no artistic integrity, but What I will say is this. There is a level of just overall integrity that needs to be brought back. And sound can evolve. That's fine. I have no issue with sound evolving. Like Young Thug, that guy right there, that is one of the most real dudes in hip hop right now. And he's a revolutionary as far as the sound goes. Like, as far as the modern sound goes, Young Thug is one of the pioneers and will forever live on into the future generations. But to get back to the roots, I feel like what's happened is tiny brain people have listened to what hip hop has said lyrically, like with gangster rap and whatnot. And they're like, oh, this is actually how I should act. I should get a gun and go shoot some people and sell drugs and everything. Now, granted, this is the fault of the United States government in a big sense. And putting young African Americans and people of color into these communities where they have to do this to survive. And then hip hop is the only way out. I believe the saying is, what, rapper go to the league? I think that's a 2 Chainz album name. Like, that's one of the names of his albums, Rapper Go to the League. And that's so true. Like, you have these, I mean, I guess underprivileged communities where there's less money, there's less access to education, they don't have the resources that, say, a wealthy neighborhood does. And so what happens is they get into selling drugs, they get into gangbanging, they get into, you know, stealing shit, like all this stuff. And then a few of them do get into making hip-hop music. And then what happens from there? People like to tell stories about what they do. So then they tell stories about what they were doing before hip-hop. And that leads to them making rap songs about doing drugs, selling drugs, fucking hoes, popping gats, stealing cars, whatever. And then you take that and you give it to the mainstream. That person blows up. And then all the people, you know, say in Chicago or Detroit or somewhere that's, you know, kind of overrun with overwhelming amounts of violence and whatnot. And then that just leads to more issues because they're like, oh, well, this person's from my hometown and this is what they're saying. So I might as well just do.
That vicious cycle.
It's a vicious cycle. Exactly. So in order to get back to it, I feel like, I mean, one, we got to overthrow the government. I'm just going to say that. If we do that, get the money allocated properly. Perfect. Uh-oh, FBI is at my door. Here they are. They're coming in. But I feel like if more people like preach good things, like that's what I love about Marshall and the MLB is that they're spreading something genuine that can build bridges and not burn bridges, right? Where you're trying to have a positive, good outlook on the world. You want to show respect for people, and you're trying to make a better person for yourself. And I feel like a lot of people think that's cheesy, but you know what is pretty cheesy is like, I fuck your bitch, buddy. I fuck your bitch. Oh, like,
that's well, and see that right there, though, that concept of like, in terms of the industries and what sells, and you know, how we've seen like people that have really, I don't want to say they have no artistic skill, because clearly they did something to get there, but people that really don't have, you know, real deep connections with like the streets or even that upbringing. And, you know, one of the things that I've seen that's really concerning and just like the mentorship program that I've done is that the rap that a lot of the younger kids are listening to, they're all talking about like popping Xanax and doing all these crazy pills. And I just don't get like, how did hip hop get into that shift of just like, okay, so it went from like gangster rap, I remember that in the 90s, you know, to kind of like how things kind of evolved, like trappish style music and all that. But like, when did it go straight up like, yo, let's OD, let's be straight up on coding all the time and go beyond that and just start shooting up pills? Like, I don't get the switch.
Yeah.
And I personally don't get the appeal. Like, I just don't get how rap turned to that point where it's like, you know, I remember some of like all the old school hip hop used to be such, you had to be a good lyricist to be a hip hop artist.
Right.
You know, you actually had to be able to make, and if you weren't like a good lyricist, you actually had to be able to talk about super deep things, or just, you know, you had to get people thinking with your music and your rapping ability. But now it just seems to be that's just like, I could just put in a hook and say the same hook for 80% of the song and then do some brr, 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 like sounds every now and then. And then, you know, maybe a verse or two. And then that's like a platinum album.
I mean,
I just don't get it.
Like, do it and try it and see what happens. But I think that honestly, the problem is it comes down to what the new generation is. And I mean, you're a little older than I am. You're still a millennial, and I'm low millennial, high Gen Z. I'm right on that gap right there. So, and like both my siblings are Gen Z technically. So, you know, I can swing both ways. But what I think is really happening is with the current way that the world is, you know, with how easy it is to get information, how quickly kids are growing up, like with technology and everything, kids are just growing up fast. Like I'll be playing Xbox at midnight and then shoot someone, and then I hear their mic and it's a fucking 8-year-old playing fucking Call of Duty, and like, okay, cool, well, like great, you're out here swearing and you're past your bedtime and all this, so it starts early. But then next thing you know, I feel like a lot of kids with the cell phone, the era and the digital era, people get bored quickly, like with attention spans being at an all-time low, or ADHD or depression and all this, because of the dopamine that you get when you're scrolling or when you're getting likes on a post and whatnot. And so people want to still feel that. And so then they start taking perk 30s, and then they pop a Xan or whatever, and next thing you know, they're ODing and whatnot. So I think it from boredom is where it really all starts, is being bored and just so dissatisfied with everything. And then a lot of people start making that into music, and then people are like, oh, this is okay. Freaking so-and-so is doing this. Oh, Juice WRLD's taking a bunch of pills, and I like Juice WRLD, so I'll just do that. And then you take a bunch on the runway and then you freaking die because you ate all your pills really fast. Rest in peace, Juice WRLD. Why did you eat all those pills that fast? You shouldn't have done that. So it comes down to the youth culture as a whole, I think. And most of the youth are probably good people. I feel like they've just been misguided by stupid TikToks and like all these shit posts and all these fucking dumb memes that I love. I love me a good deep fried meme, but god damn, does it make me lose brain cells. So all this stuff going on, I feel like it's just dumbing down everybody. But it's so, the access to information is so easy now. So you have easy access to things that are going to dumb you down, but you're not stupid because you know how to use the technology to your advantage. And so like, it's a catch 22. You're getting smarter because you're rapidly evolving, but you're getting dumber because you're feeding yourself garbage information. And then you start doing stuff because you're bored, because you're like, oh, I want to experiment. Back in my day, experimenting was just, you know, smoking a little bit of weed or something, and then taking some acid after you take your SAT test. But like now it's like at 12 years old, it's like, oh, you want to take some bars? Like, why? Why is that even a thing that kids are doing? I don't understand.
No, man, I think it's hilarious that you said it that way, because in terms of the children being introduced into things, you know, earlier and earlier, I mean, that's just, I guess you'd say it's almost like the evolutionary inevitability that's just always going to happen, you know, as things improve and things increase. Like, I remember the first, like, or technically, I remember playing on the Super Nintendo and Sega Genesis that we had in our home, and then boom, fast forward, Xbox One, Xbox X Series, all this other stuff, like PlayStation 5. Like, you see the evolution in just the technology within, like, our lifespan thus far. Right. And it comes to that point where it's, you know, are we really wielding the tools that we have wisely? Are they controlling us? And I think it's very evident that they're controlling a good majority of the people. Yeah. And I guess the real big thing that highlights from this is, you know, it's a factor of boredom. And it becomes that, you know, the cliche saying of idle hands are the devil's playthings. But there's a lot of truth to that, where it's like, if you're not really pushing yourself to aspire to be like a better version of yourself, or to really learn something and grow, I see that it's just as a societal reaction, we're seeing just all of the lesser vibrations and lesser energies and bad habits, all these things just gaining more and more control out of just not being tested, not being challenged enough. And I think that's something for the listeners that I really want to ask you on, is just, how do you handle adversity like this? You know, like, how have you personally utilize your, you know, these flaws and boredoms and, you know, societal pressures really just to like dance your dance? Because that right there is just a, you know, you said it so casually, but just like seeing the big picture, being able to take a step back and actually look at yourself in life is a skill that everyone needs to start to practice. So like, what really put you in the position in life to kind of hone those skills, or where did you really start to develop? Like, when did you really have that first recognition of like, okay, I got to take a step back, I gotta evaluate some shit?
Well, really, like, I'm gonna shout out Mr. Geary on this one again for philosophy class. Like, that really helped me explore my horizons. Like, there were maybe like four classes I gave a shit about in high school. Spanish was one of them. I know one of them for sure was philosophy, though. And so what really made me think about stuff was just like learning about how to think critically about stuff. And then, you know, the self is at the center of everything, and what you perceive is what is real. And so if you don't look at why you perceive things the way you perceive things, then you don't know why you believe what you believe. So
love it.
That's just truth right there.
Fact. So, no, exactly. It's objective truth. Like, there's no arguing on that.
Yeah. So if you take a step back and look at yourself and acknowledge like what you come from, who you are, what your advantages, disadvantages are in life, whether it's economically, like wealth, where you were born geographically, what country you were born in, what color your skin is, what your education is like, you have all of these things. And people nowadays like to call it privilege, which it definitely can be. But it's factors that lead you to make the decisions that you make, whether you chose it or not. That is what it is. And you got to acknowledge why it is that way.
Hmm. No, I really like that. And it goes to show the importance. I mean, again, I knew we vibed, and I knew in December, every time we talk, you know, it's just like, yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
It's that concept of, you know, being able to take the objective observational perspective in life, and really just it's not being cutthroat, it's not being mean, it's just being straight up and efficient. Yep. And the one thing that I'm curious about, because, you know, we talk about hip-hop culture and all those things with like the youth, how much do you think society would change if we taught this type of philosophy, obviously, like, you know, digested down and boiled down, in elementary school? Would do you think it would have resonated with you, as even at that young of an age, like talking about these like kind of like different type of concepts of just like your understanding and building your perspective of this world?
Absolutely. I mean, that philosophy class that I took in high school, that was only the beginning that led me to a bunch more. But Like that was an elective that I chose to take because I wanted to. That wasn't part of the core curriculum of everything. So I feel like if you started teaching this stuff early on, same thing with anything else. Like we're teaching kids like useless crap, like literally just useless crap that they're never going to use in their lives. And it's disgusting. And that's why I've always had this disdain for the education system, is because I know that it's a scam. Like it's just straight up a scam. They're teaching you useless crap. They're going to send you to college to try and get a piece of paper for $100,000 in debt. That's going to make you $2 more an hour than your peer who didn't go to college. Okay, great job, buddy. Now you got all this debt that you're working all your life to pay off. So I fully agree that if we were to teach this stuff early on in little digestible pieces, like I said, with that car crash example, right? Like that's pretty easily digestible to, you know, someone who's 8 years old, right? Like, yeah. You know,
you get real stuff.
Yeah. You would just take concepts. Real analogies. Yeah. Real concepts, like real world situations, and then analyze them through the lens of perspective, or through self-growth, or through privilege, as you want to call it, whatever you want to call it, like acknowledging the situation that you are in.
Ooh, I would almost even say like the easiest way you could phrase that, I think, would just be teaching compassion. It's just like, cause it's teaching that perspective of like, I mean, it ties into what you said earlier about perspective. It's like teaching that there's people that come from different backgrounds.
Right.
They come from different situations, and that impacts them as who they are as kids.
Right.
You know, that's a fascinating perspective on the fact of, you know, the impact of just philosophy. And the Western sciences have shown us that they've done so many studies that show like when kids learn philosophy at a young age, mm-hmm. all of their other subjects go up. But I'm right there with you in terms of the educational like system, especially, or like I should specify, like the public educational system,
right. is that
it's an indoctrination center. You know, yeah. it teaches kids stuff that don't make sense, that they teach them in methods that frustrate them because it's not
yep.
natural. Like they don't do drop down math anymore.
What do they do?
So like the way I can express it is like, at least as this is like 3 years ago when I was like working with schools, they'll do like a type of a grid. I'll be a little less.
And when you're talking drop down, you mean like carry the one, carry the two type stuff.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, okay.
Like they don't do that. So like they'll do like a number here. Like it'll be like this, Y, this, Y. And they do all this crazy stuff. And I literally remember trying to like show kids how to like do math, because they were, you know, when I was helping out one of the, it was Laurelhurst Elementary. I had like two fourth graders who were doing their homework in the morning, and I was trying to help them out with it, and they were getting super frustrated. They're like, I just don't know what to do. Like, this is really annoying. One of them started to cry, and I was just like, yo, right. like, what's going on over here? And it was just a simple, like, I'm pretty sure it was like, you're multiplying like a 3-digit number by a 2-digit number. Uh-huh. And they were just mind blown. Like they couldn't do it because their box was even more, there was even longer than that one. Had the three,
oh my God, it's 8 columns long.
Well, and it was just one of those things where I was just like, dude, why are you guys getting so frustrated with this? And I just showed them drop down math, and they were just like they looked at like me like a deer in the headlights, like I was teaching them magic. Like it was one of those things where I was just like, you guys, like what is how are you learning? And I had to research it and look it up, and it's the most confusing things. And like the times while someone does a beautiful side by side of trying to teach, like they're showing their teacher and like a teacher's class exam, trying to teach people and students how to do this, versus just doing drop down math and talking through it. And it's like a minute passes, drop down math equations complete, after like spending some around to kind of like talk to the camera and judge, and like not judging, but like critiquing this one, be like, you see what they're doing here? You see what they're doing here? Let's get back to the problem. And then, you know, and it takes like 8, 10 minutes, 12 minutes for the person to do like the square thing, or like the rectangular like grid. And it doesn't make any sense to why they're teaching people this other than to cause suffering and chaos. And it's, I don't know, man, like you got to look this up. It's like, you got to look it up on YouTube.
Yeah. I'll have to find it under my free time. Like what would it be? What's it even called?
I don't even know what I called it. I think it was like box math or something like that.
But
like,
oh God.
But
yeah,
dude,
it's making kids stupid. Box math. Oh my God.
Are you seeing it? Does it pop up immediately?
Yes. What the hell is this? Okay, so 3 times 28, you're going to take the 3 and put it on one side, and you do the 20, and then you do the 8. Okay, that makes sense. That's fine. That's how I would break it down as a problem, but in my brain, not in a box. There's no boxes going on here. So 958 times 46, you do the 900. What? And then you add it all up at the end?
Yes, yes, yes.
So it's two problems.
Exactly.
Why?
Exactly. Why? And the thing that I was thinking about, like, I had this, I just had a revelation when I was, like, at that place working there. And I was just like, dude, like, they're purposefully making this harder.
Yes.
For kids. And it's like, yes. What happens when you have those types of mental issues? You know, you think your self-worthlessness goes up, low self-esteem. Right. You right. bash yourself, you get more depressed, anxious for sure. Like, kid cried. It was like, 7:30 in the morning. Why are you crying?
You're it's 10. Only 4 times 20. Come on.
Right. Yeah. Those things where it's like, I just don't get, other than their purpose just to create more people that are just broken and are pain and filled with trauma. Because they're moldable.
You can control them.
Well, and exactly. But it's also a point of disconnection too, because it's like, parents can't teach that. Right. I remember a kid, his mom was a doctor, and he goes, my mom taught me drop down math, but I can't do it. I did it on my last one and I got in trouble.
Dude, okay.
I started doing my field research and being like, wait, is this a thing? I thought it was just that teacher. I was like, wait, is this a real thing? They all are taught that now. It's ridiculous.
Dude, that's ridiculous. I remember I used to get in trouble for not showing my work on tests, because I'm a big picture kind of guy. I got the right answer. I didn't cheat. I got the right answer. Why does it matter how I got that answer? Okay. So like, I remember one time I got in trouble for this, but it said, it was like 9 times 5. I was like, oh, it's 45, whatever. I was good at my times tables. Now calculus, fuck calculus. That's not real math. That's fake numbers. That's rocket science math. I'm not doing that. But like, it said, show your work. And so I literally drew a picture of a person and a thought bubble and 9 times 5. And I just wrote, I did it in my head, and my teacher was pissed. And I was like, I literally just did it. Like, how do you want me to break it down for you? What do you want me to show? My brain? Like, you know what I mean? So you're having people, this is why other countries are smarter than us, is because we're teaching our kids to be stupid. And so like that new method of teaching, or I don't know what in God's green earth is being taught in schools. They're probably also making them a bunch of softies too. And you can teach someone compassion without making them a big softie.
Facts.
But right? Like, you don't have to be a baby who's going to cry at multiplication because you're being taught bad multiplication. If you just teach everything the right way the first time. I'm just going off right now, but the education system is just ridiculous. I hate it so much.
I mean, for you to hear that and see that type of math for the first time, I think that's an important thing for people to understand, of just how deep this really goes in terms of societal issues that cause long-term problems in people. You know, like, there is a group of kids that, you know, some of them were in my groups that I counseled, but they were third and fourth graders that were full blown having like almost like an AA meeting after school and sometimes during lunches for the PE physical exam, just running laps and doing some push-ups and sit-ups because they had such anxiety that they were having like breakdowns in the middle of class and like full-on emotional crying, tears, some vomiting. Like, dude, it was like the culture that's getting bred nowadays is absolutely terrifying. And the only thing that I can think that can really heal it is for them to learn these concepts of, you know, just like introspective, objective observation, you know, critical thinking, being compassionate, you know, having that ability to kind of question yourself, but not destroy yourself.
Right.
Subtly a drastic difference in that regard.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people are afraid to question themselves. I've never really thought of it that way, where I think questioning yourself is great because then you can learn from it. But some people question themselves and then that is self-deprecating because they think, oh, I'm wrong. I'm an idiot. I don't know what I'm talking about, or I'm not good enough, all this stuff. But then there's the flip side of that of, oh, I have this, I can work on this and improve on this and become a better person. So that's just interesting that you put it like that. I really like that.
Thank you. Like, but it comes back to that point where, you know, with everything going on with like the coronavirus, we just touched upon some issues with school and education right now. You know, there's a lot of kids at this current moment in our society that are
getting stunted, right, and absolutely taking steps back in terms of their emotional and, you know, societal and behavioral development, that we're not really going to know the outcome of this stuff for like another 10 years when it fully manifests.
Right.
You know, so I think that's just the state of you, just like, how can we give people advice that maybe have younger siblings, that maybe are parents with kids experiencing this stuff? Like, what if, you know, shout out to Mr. Geary, right? it's one of those things where it's, you know, how can you really try to be that impactful teacher and facilitator in the youth today through some of these concepts that you found that were really important for yourself?
I think you just got to let kids know that not all hope is gone. This isn't a freaking Slipknot album right here. This is not All Hope Is Gone. It's a great album too. But like, just let them know that we're going to make it through, you know? Stop giving kids, like, from what I've heard from people that have kids, their kids have so much homework. Why are you giving them homework? They're not even going to school. They're not going to real school right now. They're going to Zoom school, okay? Like, let them do whatever they want to do outside of that. Like, honestly, I feel like one thing that we could be focusing on in this generation is how to socialize. Because whether they're necessarily well-educated or not, okay, they can't do their multiplication boxes. Okay, whatever, little Jimmy's going to be fine without his freaking 50 plus 8 plus 9 times 40 plus 8. That's a bunch of bullshit. He's going to be fine without that, but maybe he can use this time to learn how to communicate better with people. Maybe he can use this time to work on a passion project that he has, or maybe learn to code. Everything's being done on a computer. Maybe they can learn how to code computers, and we can have a whole new generation that can rapidly advance technology, right? Like, they're already on the computer all day. Don't make them do these boxes on the computer. Have them do stuff on the computer that's going to lead, like, if these are actually issues that you've seen where they're having horrible anxiety about having gym tests and having math tests and they're crying and they're throwing up, like all this stuff, give them something, like let them work on something that they want to work on. If you let somebody explore what they're passionate about, some fifth grader might make a hot mixtape. You never know. Like some fifth grader might become an iconic fashion designer because they were given the free time to do that during these times. Someone might find that they really love medicine and then go on to find the cure for cancer or whatever, right? Like there's so much free time for these kids that are in school right now that we need to be encouraging them to explore what they want to explore and not enforcing any kind of curriculum at all, because that curriculum is pointless. They're not in school. They are on a digital computer. The parents are going to be doing all the schooling. And I feel like anyways, parents need to be a bigger part of the kids' lives. Like in other countries, kids school, like not during COVID times, but kids go to school like 3 days a week for 2 hours. Like in like Sweden or some shit, it's they barely go to school at all and they're incredibly happy and incredibly productive because they're kids and kids need to be social. I always hated school because, and this is, I even hate this at work too. Like right now I'm fine because I'm having an animated conversation with you and I'm fine, but like sitting in a chair or sitting at a desk for 1 hour and then getting 2 minutes of moving time to your next class, or even in elementary school, you don't move classes. You're sitting in a chair all day. I'm not going to get anything done doing that. I am going to be like, let me out of here. I want to go be outside or be with my friends or play video games, whatever you want to do, do it. Let the kids do it. That's why. Whatever. Let this year just be a lost year of education. It's fine. Everybody's going to recover. Nearly 90% of what I learned in school, I don't use anyways, except my grammar and my writing, reading skills and Espanol. Like those things, that's it. That's all I'm using that I learned from school. Just the basic skills. Teach them the basic skills, they're fine. They don't even teach home economics anymore.
Do they teach anything? Like imagine, so let's take this another step further. It's like, you know, okay, so you could build your dream curriculum to really just transform education.
Right.
How would you, like, what classes would you pick? I would say, like, pick five classes. Like, what would you teach?
For the modern day child?
To really create a society of, like, cultured, educated, knowledgeable, and powerful. Really, truly, this is all just creating powerful human beings. Like, how could we, because, you know, in the light of, you know, making new systems, you know, I really like Buckminster Fuller. You know, for those that don't know him, he's an amazing, really just all around dude, like scientist, philosopher, writer. Like he did it all. You know, he was an engineer. He created so many different businesses and systems. Like, but one of the things that he's really prominently known for is that, you know, he actually made Buckyball. So it's like chemist. I almost completely forgot about that. It's one of his most famous things. But like, he was very famous and notable for saying, you know, like, in order to create a new system, you have to make the new one so efficient that it just makes the old one obsolete. Like, you don't even make it an option, you know? And the things that I would like to think, you know, is I don't like to just talk about, you know, the issues and things that are going on, but like, how can we really transform things? So I'm curious, like, what would be like your five most important classes to teach kids, like starting in elementary school, just to change the game?
So I would say, this is a tough one. I would say, so one class would be like just to start easy, like a STEM class. So science, technology, engineering, mathematics, that would be one class where you teach them like, and you can even specialize it too, and then branch it off, say into four classes eventually that the kids get to pick. So like you have a core STEM class that's science, technology, engineering, mathematics, teaching the basics. And then some kid might be like, oh, I really like engineering. Okay, you take the engineering class. Some kid might like coding computers, take the coding class. Some kid might like mathematics, take math. Science, take a science class, be a rocket scientist, whatever. So you have that as like a core class in elementary school, and then it could branch off from there, right? I would say, although it is a useless college degree, it would be a good thing to teach kids communications, which would include like reading, writing, speaking, you know, basic communication skills. Like, so instead of presenting English,
things like that,
and presenting, yeah, like being comfortable with doing stuff and not just texting yeet or whatever. But you could even do texting as part of the class. Like you could have like texting etiquette as part of the class, because that's the world that we're going towards, like email etiquette, texting etiquette, reading, writing, public speaking, intergroup work. Like that would all be part of the communications class and not some college degree that's going to get you nowhere. And then I would say also like philosophy. And you could expand around the philosophy in the sense of like emotional acknowledgement or something like that. Like like an emotional philosophy and emotional understanding class, and not like in a softy way. Like, and when I say softy, I mean like don't make them ashamed of it or like cry about it. Make them comfortable with it. Make the kids comfortable with talking about their feelings, talking about their perception, how they view the world and all that stuff, because that would really help grow them as individuals and make them stronger as a person.
And like compassionate towards others and really being able to like listen. I think that's like one of the most important things we never get taught is how to listen.
Right. It's very true. Like you don't know how to hear. You can hear someone, but you might not acknowledge what they're saying. And one important thing with listening too is just like growing from it and taking what you hear from someone and just ingesting it. Don't even be like, oh, I got to talk next. Like I got to think of something better to say, you know, just give it some time to fester in there. So let's see, we got our STEM class, our communications, which encompasses both those encompass a lot. Emotional class. Like I would say philosophy. Yeah, philosophy, emotional, like that type
all
of
that into one thing.
All that into one. All that is one class that you'd have multiple years.
It's like understanding of self, essentially.
Yeah, and then I would have like a, I don't know what you call it, basic world skills class. So like, cooking, doing your chores, going like transportation, like all these basic things. How to balance your checkbook, or how to spend money.
How to save.
Invest all that stuff, all that stuff. That's like human society 101 is what you'd call it. But you have 101, 102, all that, right? Like all this basic stuff of living in a society and how to build a family, how relationships work, how you could incorporate sex ed into that class too, right? Just like interacting with other people. And that's not part of the other classes. This is like yourself making yourself a person in a society. So that. And then, I mean, the fourth one would just be not even just an art class, but just a passion project class where kids just find something that they like and they get time to do whatever they want and work on that as much as they'd like, where it's a free. I mean, obviously you have physical education in there somewhere. This and that. We're not counting that as a class. You got to get gym and recess and stuff.
Ooh,
but what?
I like that. No, I was going to say, because like I'd almost even add like a lot of, I'd almost even say we have to expand it to six, because it's like you have the STEM, you have the communications, you have the philosophy, you have the societal like contribution,
societal
like,
skills,
societal skills. You have the art, which I would just leave it as arts in general.
Art, just art, just yeah, whatever. Just all art. Exactly. That's why
teaching
I was like,
kids well, how to create, like
creating,
creation,
yeah.
Creation, yeah. 101.
Ooh, but not we're not getting into biblical stuff. We're getting into art stuff. But yeah, and then you would have another class that would be your physical education aspect of it, which would be, you know, say yoga, learning how to do proper breathing exercises, learning how to like take care of your body by what to eat and health and like a bunch of different sports. Let people explore all these different sports.
Team games and like that type of like working with people and that type of strategy and all that.
Yeah, because then you're building your brain, you're keeping fit, like healthy, and then you're learning how to become, because body, I mean, your body is a huge piece of all that too. So you're taking care of your mental and physical health with all of that. And I feel like that would be a good six. So you have your STEM class, which is like modern day skills, communications, which is basic human interaction, philosophy. And then your society skills class, and then art, which is just creation, and physical education, which goes beyond just, hey, let's play dodgeball today. That's like team building, personal wellness, long-term care about your mental wellness too would be a part of that class as well, like taking care of your mind, like physical, not gym, talking physical education.
Well, and that's the biggest thing about PE, which is such a joke. And this isn't an offense to PE teachers, because I do know some that actually do get pretty deep and try to do their best, but like they're limited to the system. And I think that's the crazy thing is like, you know, we grow up and we don't actually learn, like a lot of my work in terms of like FSP stuff is teaching people how to really people, is teaching them like their ins and outs, their bodies, like food is fuel. Like all these things of how you have a cause and effect, you know, it's like, oh, you have an ailment, you're catering to one side. Well, that's going to create an effect for the other side. Mm-hmm. You got a knee injury on that left leg. It's going to kind of create some ish on the right if you're kind of catering to it all the time. Like just the systems of levers and pulleys, like there's so many basic things that for me like that, like what you just said. And then we could almost say like the seventh period is just like lunch and then recess and just like decompression time.
You know what I mean? Relaxation
like,
time.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Dude. Like, you can go eat, you can go hang out on the playground, you can do your thing. But like, I think just right there, because that should never end. Like that should be like one of the basic categories of how it just, it, like a tree, it just continues to branch out as you get older. Because I think that's one thing that's really important too. Just, it's funny with that seventh one. I love how it expanded from five to seven.
We like, had to squeeze them in.
Yeah, but I mean, because it's just important to show people that it's like, you know, I always used to watch a lot of anime. I mean, I still watch a lot of anime, but it's just like, in terms of like in martial arts and all this stuff, it's just like one of the biggest concepts is if you're going to work hard and you're going to, you know, it's important to also play hard and enjoy life.
Right.
But it's also important to rest. Yeah. And we never really teach that. And really teaching people how to like just a whole time spent just like, hey, this is you just relaxing. Mm-hmm. Do whatever relaxes you. You know, people don't give themselves that aspect of self-love and really just balancing out the human existence. Dude, no, I love that. I think right there, what you just talked about, that is how we reform education. To actually,
there we go.
To not only heal a generation, like to heal generations, but to create people that are like, could you imagine coming out of that, like in high school, going through that type of process and just like deep dives? Because the way I like to see it is like, maybe not even just expanding into a ton of different things, but just keeping those same seven core groups of classes and just more and more complicated each level you go up.
Yep.
So it's like kids are getting really well wound, getting really well rounded in the, you know, in every aspect of what they're getting taught. So like when they're done in high school, it's like you have fully functioning people who could really do whatever they want when they're given this choice of, hey, figure out what you want to do for the rest of your life and you're going to invest all this money in it.
Yeah. Like, and you can even teach them, like, you could teach them jobs if you wanted to do that. You could have the option, say, once I feel like once they've gotten through middle school, they got the basics down, and then in high school you would advance it more.
Yeah, specializations, or say some type of thing.
Yeah. And then say, you know, someone who's 13 is like, actually, I really, you know, learned a lot about plumbing or welding or being an electrician. I want to do that. Okay, cool. You're going to go to the technical school and learn those skills to apply to it. You're going to have a different curriculum. You're going to learn those skills because we know that you're passionate about it. And we're going to specialize you to that, whereas these other kids are going to keep going through their education. And at any time, you can opt out of the high school building blocks and say, oh, actually, I heard that my friend Timmy Tim is having fun over at plumber school. I want to go try that out too. Okay, sure. Go check it out. See what it's like. Like, give kids the option. And I mean, I know they had, like for me, they had what was called Snow Isle technical programs and whatnot. And it was super cool. They also had Running Start. But why not just implement that into the regular school system? Don't make it something that you have to sign up for and like go off campus to do, especially if you're the oldest and you don't know about that. Like me, I'm the oldest. So I didn't know about any of this stuff until it was too late. And so once that time came, I was like, wait, I could have been getting free college or free technical skills and not have had to pay for it and be essentially 2 years ahead of everybody else if I did that.
Wow. Yeah.
So that I think needs to just be implemented into part of the regular curriculum.
Ooh, that's a game changer. You know, it's so funny throughout all this. I think one of the things that's really important to highlight, and it's something that we can't really teach, but it's more so shown and expressed, but it's the importance of humor and being able to laugh, not only laugh at, you know, the awesomeness of life, but just being able to like kind of laugh at yourself and be lighthearted. You know, how would you say that's really impacted you as a person? Because I think that's one of the things that I just get from you as a being is that, you know, it's like you're incredibly like humorous and just like lighthearted in a lot of different ways. But it's not to a point where it's like blasé, I don't give a shit about life. It's that point where it's just like you truly are having fun.
Right.
You know, like how would you help people kind of awaken to that inner self, like that? Because the way I say this is that I relate with you in that sense, because I like to see it as like it's my inner child just expressing itself.
Right. I mean, yeah, you can't lose that inner youth in you, and I feel like the expressions of you're only as old as you feel and age is only a number are very real in that sense. Like if you keep your childish spirit forever, like I helped this one guy at work the other day. He was like 75 and he's like, oh yeah, dude, like blah, 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 blah. Oh yeah, man. Like, he's like just talking to me so casually, like he had a youthful spirit about him. And I was like, okay, cool. Like this guy has clearly held on to that. Like he's using his hippie terms from back when he was a fucking hippie back in the day now with me. And I've often said throughout my life that if it wasn't for humor, I would be dead. I would just off myself out of this world, because if you can't enjoy life, there's no point in living. That's the way I see it. If your life is not being enjoyed, and that's not to say kill yourself, I do not endorse suicide. That's a very deep subject. Don't do that. But you got to be okay with enjoying life. Life doesn't have to be miserable. Like bad things happen in life. Yes. Bad things are going to happen to you. Yes. But you can always find the humor in every situation, no matter how fucked up it is. Like it could be the most tragic thing in the world, but you can find something funny about it or something ironic or something that you can laugh at, kind of, you know? And that's, I feel like that's the human condition, is just like all humor comes from pain. Honestly, I feel like a lot of humor that I would say all of it comes from pain, and not necessarily like deep pain, but you know, like slapstick comedy, that's people getting hurt, falling down funny, or like like certain comedy is either something tragic happening or the lack of something tragic happening, and we find that funny. It's a subversion of our expectations. And so when something does or doesn't happen the way that we think it's going to happen, we find that humorous. And that's why like SNL, for example, SNL sucks now because it's so predictable and ass. It's just straight ass. So
it's too
like
tamed in PC.
It's tamed, exactly. So like some of the best humor comes when it's just absolutely fucked up. Like certain things like that are just hilarious. And that's what's pissing me off about this new generation and whatnot, is everybody's so PC and you can't even make a And the thing is, with humor, you can learn from it and educate people through humor. Because like, you know, if people are afraid to talk about, say, I don't even know, say dropping the bomb on Hiroshima, or talking about slaves in America, or talking about the Holocaust, literally anything like that, those are all very heavy issues that really happened in human history, okay? And there's nothing we can do to change that. But the best way to educate ourselves about it is to think of clever ways to talk about it, right? And so if you can, if you can use humor to your advantage to change people's perspective on those issues, then I think that that's something that you should do. And some people would heavily disagree and say, oh, that's fucked up. That's, you know, that's appropriation. You're messing all this up. Like, you're fucking bigoted. No, no, you're not. You're just trying to, instead of making it all humdrum and sad, talking about the Trail of Tears, like, teach it in a way that at least has something to it. That it's not funny, but like, you, if you make, you know what I mean? Like,
no, dude,
like,
I get it.
Like, there are all these things that happened in the past that are so bad that you don't have to necessarily make it bad to talk about.
Yeah. Well, it's making things digestible in a fashion that isn't incredibly painful. I mean, exactly. It's not like, I mean, some of the greatest jokes I've ever heard are ones that are just like, oh, that's terrible. Like, but it's a point of, you know, I think that's one of the reasons why, like, you think about, like, why Chappelle's show was such a hit when it first came out, and why his stand-ups and other kind of like-minded comedians do so well, is because they're some of the most brutal in terms of their dissections and kind of like, I guess you'd say almost like the philosophical breakdown of just like society and just like how truly messed up some of this stuff is, and then just using comparisons to be like, could we ever pull this off in a regular setting? You know, like,
right. And
just see how outlandish it is. But that's what I find, like, with yourself that bothers me, is that this world has gotten so PC that we actually haven't been able to really look at ourselves and enjoy life. We have to be, it's just a big victim wine party, like victimhood, yeah. whininess, and just really just a bratty, selfish behavior. Because it's like, listen, like, you're offended at something you've never once experienced. This is, yes. this is your intro just to get a taste of how truly fucked up it is.
Yeah.
Laugh because everyone else that's experienced it is laughing their ass off. Like,
right. Right. And that, like, that's the thing. People love to be offended and act like they're the hero. And if I ever try and just have a civil conversation with someone about something that's real, like, if you try and have someone, a conversation with someone about something that is real, and they get upset and they leave the conversation, they're not willing to expand their mind. That's there. I've said a lot that there's a lot of fake woke. I don't even know. I might have even said that last time when we were doing the political podcast. But there's like so much fake wokeness going on of people thinking that they're helping, but in reality, they are hindering the advancement and learning of the human condition.
Oof.
So like, facts. There was, like, for example, let's take the Washington Redskins, for example, which is now the Washington football team. So white people are very offended at the fact that it was called the Washington Redskins. And honestly, I get it. I don't know. That sounds like a slang term to me. But my stepbrother was telling me this story. He has a classmate at college, or I think a frat bro, I don't know, who's Native American. And they were talking about it. And he was saying that his friend who's Native American was like, actually, I don't really like that they changed the name. It was pretty cool that they had something that was a nod to us, like acknowledging that, you know, we exist, we are people. And so that really put in perspective that, like, okay, well, this group that caused the oppression is now saying it's offensive historically. I mean, I got you. Right. But like, historically, the white Americans led the Native Americans to their slaughter. Right. And then that's fucked up. That's not okay. And then we got the Washington Redskins football team, and everybody gets offended by it because it's like, oh, historically, that's not okay. No, no way. That's bad. That's offensive. But then when you get the perspective of someone who's a modern day Native American talking about that, and they say, oh, yeah, well, I actually enjoyed that. That was something that caused our heritage. It really puts it into perspective of like, okay, well, who has the right to be offended? I don't think you have the right to be offended at, I mean, being offended is a choice, for one. Being offended
facts,
is a choice.
Facts. Yeah.
But I feel like you have no right or need to be offended at something that you are not any part of. Like, okay, look, if it's racism, if you're racist, fuck you. Like literally you can just fuck off. If you're racist, fuck off. Anybody, because that's just not okay. But like, if you take something from history and you're like, oh, this is my fault. I got to feel bad. I'm guilty for this. Well, no, you're not. You weren't even alive, for one. And two, you don't even hold those values to be true. So like, no, that's not the case. And I mean, I say a lot of this, and of course there's exceptions to everything. Everything is subjective, right? But a majority of the time, you got to just learn from the past and not try and change the past. Because you know what the mother freaking Nazis did when they first took over? They burned all the books and they burned the history. And that's what you're doing right now, is you're literally censoring history. And when you censor history, nobody knows it happened. And then it happens again. Exactly. That's a no cap. There.
No, I mean, that's something that's going on. I mean, we're seeing it right now, the active role of censorship and how things are getting painted, and even just textbooks that are coming out nowadays. Like, and it's funny that you bring up the Redskins, because, you know, North Dakota State University or North Dakota University, they used to be the Fighting Sioux, and no Sioux complained. It was just a bunch of white people, to the point where like they even went through all this like crazy stuff where, you know, my buddy went there for aviation school, and he was telling me, he's just like, oh man, like, you know, the hockey, like that was a huge thing. Obviously it's North Dakota, so they're huge with hockey. And it was one of those things where the Fighting Sioux, they would do like, it was like a memorial video of just like the culture of like the Fighting Sioux, and just like really paying homage. And it was all signed off by the chiefs, you know, the tribe itself.
Right.
And they were like, they helped them make it, like all this stuff that was like very respectful towards the culture and the community. And then it's just a bunch of like Karens and Carls, or Karens and Kens, or whatever it is, that are just,
I like, forget what the guys are like,
that are, I'm offended.
Yeah.
And then they took it off. They scrubbed it. And it was just like, okay, so now you're telling me that like the school that's built on their land no longer gets the representation because of some pissed off people that have nothing to do with any of this?
Exactly.
Like, it's just, people need,
like,
to grow
if
up.
You're not getting fucking like backlash from the community that people are saying it's offending, why is it even a problem? Like, why? Nobody from this community that you say it is offending are offended. So what gives you the right to say that it is? Because you, as someone who's, I don't know, learned about this piece of history, feel somehow guilty because of it? Like, come on, what are you doing?
Oh, dude, it's crazy. Oh, man. Well, I think that's just one of the things that I'm very, you know, it's always nice having these types of conversations, because it's always a breath of fresh air for like the mainstream stuff that goes on in this world, where, you know, it's people that actually are challenging the mainstream, that, you know, have gone through their own trial by fire, and who are, you know, creating work that really is just bringing people more joy and happiness. And, you know, I couldn't think of anyone better to have on Creative Shadow than Mr. Paper Chase Official. Because in charge, one of the real ones that is just, you know, as much as, you know, lighthearted as you are, you know, you're a person that has your perspective based on your facts and your research, and you're eloquent when you express these things. And again, like, I really wish people take away from, you know, this conversation that it's so important to be your most genuine self, regardless of what's going on around you. And life is going to reward you. The people that realize it are going to gravitate towards you. And, you know, you're just going to continue crushing it at life. And, like, I'm super excited for those projects to keep coming out. You know,
you wait.
And then once this corona locks down, we're all going to have to celebrate and do something, because it's just, I really do feel like this is a chance to, obviously they say, like, it's a new normal. It's like, yeah, and it should be. We should be growing from this. We should be changing society from this. And, you know, it's good to see people that, you know, are taking this opportunity to really push themselves and grow on deeper levels. And, you know, and just, you know, for your honesty in that sense of just being able to address your own ruts and what you can do to kind of combat that. And again, just heal and level up and transform this world, you know?
Yeah. I think a really important thing that, like, cause even though I feel like I am in that rut, what I'm learning is, if I ever am at this point again, how to handle it, you know, going forward. You gotta, right? So like, say I'm in my 40s or whatever, and God forbid I'm married and divorced and have kids, and my wife leaves me with the kids and I lose my job and I'm all sad. I can be like, okay, well, 2020. So I got this, right? So I feel like that's something that's a good lesson, at least, that can come out of this year, is even if you don't get anything productive on the surface, it's what's on the inside that's going on in here that we get done during this time that's really going to help us grow and move forward.
Oh, dude, facts. Facts. I love it. I love it.
I feel like that's the mic drop right there. That's what we gotta focus on.
That concludes this episode of Creatives Chat. Thank you for watching. Join us every Thursday at 3:33 p.m. Pacific Daily Time as creative minds get together and chat about who knows what. View more episodes on our YouTube channel. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thanks again to our sponsors for making this show possible. WeAreHistorically.com, Conscious Human Apparel.
Hi, I'm Darius Wilrich. Learn to play jazz piano with my simplified online course, Jazz Piano Pro Essentials. Enroll today at jazzpianopro.com.